from doing it. One, my mother, because I thought, how would my mother survive? And the second thing was that I just, at that time, was asking God, is God, are you real? You know? And I was troubled by something, because I actually believed that Jesus did die and rise again, but I didn't follow him. It was strange. And I'm become a pretty rational guy, so it's not about feelings for me. But I told my mom at that point, even though she's not a Christian, I didn't tell her about Christian stuff, or God stuff. She took me to Tigerberg Hospital, and I lay here for about 2 weeks, I think, in one of the wards. And that began a journey of me getting to know God. And, you know, it just starts at a simple cry out to God to know him. And because I come from a non-Christian background, I've been struggling with God and Jesus and the Bible, even when I became a Christian. It's taken me a long journey. But while we were praying, God reminded me of something where I said to God, God, I really don't want to go to heaven. I think it's going to be really boring. Don't you think? Holy. You know that? Holy. Are you looking forward to it? You're going to do holy for the rest of your eternity? Holy. Seriously? But what God told me was that, but the problem is, you see, Jan, your view of me is too narrow. Because every time you look up at God, you're going to see something. You should, because God, we're supposed to follow God in revelation also, not just reason, in revelation. And God can reveal something new about himself every day to you. That when you see that revelation, it's so good and so pure and so holy that you have to go, holy. And then when you look up again, there's something new about God that you can see that's unique and holy. So you can't follow God in a very narrow way, in a way. Because your God view is going to shape your world view. Because God calls you by name. That's the other thing that God spoke to me when I was in worship, is that it was for me too, okay? It's not just for you, trust me, it's also for me, okay? Is that there's no religion in this world or ideology or culture is going to call you by name. But God calls you by name. That is unique about Jesus Christ. He calls you by name. You know, so when we go out into the world, we are defined by God. And that's our uniqueness. So when it comes to engaging this world, there's a uniqueness about you that I can't do, but you can do it because you're in a walk with revelation with God. And that's how the church engages the world out there, because we can see our God who calls us by name, and we can walk out into the world. That is the dynamism of God. So when we meet people, wherever they are, in a way, we actually see them in God's way, how God wants to see them. Not how an ideology or religion or whatever wants to see them. And that is the uniqueness of Christ in us to the world. Amen. That's the word I have for you. I'm not really a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. The idea I got was from Thea was that the church has left the building, right? So, I don't know how long this theme has been going on. Am I the first one? I'm the second one. Fourth. Okay. I've only got one scripture for you to memorize. Okay, it's from Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen. So I've put aromat there, not because I think aromat is good for you. Tabo. So Tabo has learned from me in Site B, Khayelitsha, which is where I work as a doctor. I've been there for 8 years. That when I ask my patients, do you eat salt? They go, no. Do you eat aromat? Yes. So now you wonder why we have a hypertensive epidemic at the moment. So don't eat aromat, okay? The next slide. Okay. I want to burn in your brains 4 E's, okay? Now there's a nice app. I don't know if you've seen the Vula app. It's got a nice schnellen, huh? I go E, you know? There's a nice E on it. But I want you, if there's anything you remember today, okay, other than knowing that God is, that we follow God through revelation, is the 4 E's, okay? Because we're going to try work out what is our faith in the way we engage the world out there. And I've put it at work, okay? So I've divided it into ethics, evangelism, experience, and enrichment. Okay. Now, knowing nothing about those words, which is the one that interests you the most? Okay, we're gonna vote, because we just recently had a local government election. Okay. When it comes to about you thinking of faith at work, even though you don't know all these words here, which one interests you the most? Ethics. Okay. Well, you're remembering Prof. Kimitri Mutli. Yeah, no, I'm not talking. Okay. Evangelism. Okay. Experience. Okay. Enrichment. Okay. So now that you put your hands with things that you don't know, okay, we're going to try to go through all of them. And I want you to think, I'm trying to give you a kind of broad perspective of what it means when the church goes out there into the world. Okay. Next slide. Okay, we're going to start with experience. I put experience again. Okay. In experience, participants and groups whose primary means of integrating faith and work involves questions of vocation, calling, meaning, and the purpose in and through their marketplace professions. Okay. Big words. Let me pose a simple question. Who of you know your calling? Put up your hands. Know your calling. You know it. I know it. Thank you, God. Yes, I know it. Yes. Okay. How many of you pray to come to medical school? And you don't know your calling? You need to work. Okay. So, there's fundamentally a problem in your mind right now. Okay. Because if I throw a word at you, calling, and you think of some future spot, you're going to say in your mind, I'm not there yet. And what you can do is absolve yourself from the present context where you are. I'm telling you right now, you are called to this campus. Or if you're not from this campus, you're called wherever you are. Okay? You are called. Okay, do you feel it? Yeah. Huh? Well, it's almost always. It's not always an anointing. You know, when that test is coming at you, it's not an anointing that you feel. It's like stress and anxiety. Okay, so I would like to pose to you in a very despiritualized way that calling is, where are you and what are you doing? Okay, God has called you to be a faithful servant, not a future servant. God has called you to be a faithful servant, not necessarily a successful servant. Does that make sense? It's not the pursuit of success. It's the faithfulness that God wants from you. Okay, you might not get 100% for your test because that's not who you are. I've got a friend who always decided I'm going to go for 60% and always got 60%, but it was incredibly faithful. So are you a faithful servant? So when it comes to experience, sometimes the problem is that we might want to look for professions that might define that kind of, you know, it's more Christian to be a doctor than it's to be a nurse. That's a terrible idea, but it's wrong, you know. But we begin to value maybe certain professions over other professions because we believe it's more Christian, or we think that the window of opportunity as a Christian is bigger in that profession. The sad reality is not true. Because I can tell you that you can be a Christian and you can be a doctor and you share less of the gospel than the cleaner in the ward. So when it comes to experience and we think about vocation and calling, I mean, we are attracted as Christians to caring professions, aren't we? You know, so, you know, I know that now if I look back at medical school, there are certain professions that are really geared to really building communities, like occupational therapy. But in our worldly system, it's undervalued completely, you know. And me as a doctor, I'm stuck like trying to biochemical warfare half the time, you know. Yet I want to be transformational. So, yet you, I romanticized becoming a doctor, but it's not as romantic as I find out it to be. It's much harder. But I know God has called me to this where I am right now. So calling is, where are you? What are you doing? Okay? But the key thing is, when you are in that context, I think you have to differentiate your purpose from your calling. Now, what I mean by that is, these are just my definitions. You can make your own definitions, to be honest. But for me, purpose is how you function and why you function. What motivates you? What drives you? So some of you might, like I have a friend, he's very good with conflict resolution. And you can see that gifting in his life. There's an argument, he comes there, and he solves the problem. It's great, he's brilliant. Whether it was in student politics, when I was involved in student politics, it was with my Christian friends. Everywhere he went, he could resolve. But when there was no conflict, he would start up an argument. So his gifting was his strength, but the gifting was also his weakness. So that as the body of Christ, we need to discover our giftings. And you're not going to discover it by not serving anybody, I promise you. You have to serve somebody to find them. You can serve them on the TSR, what is it? Yeah? You can, wherever, you'll be the class rep and you can serve people. I promise you, God who's in you will shape that. But when your giftings start in the beginning, they're a little raw sometimes. Okay, but if you don't serve anybody, you're not going to find it. It's very simple. But before I get to, you know, whether you place your identity to your calling or how you do things, because you can see I like teaching. I do that also at Tabo knows when I get side B. I've already cornered him. Is identity. How do you feel when you fail that first test in your life? Do you feel good? And you look and go, God, I thought you loved me. Right? That means you're putting too much identity in your calling. Your identity must be in God. You see? Because you're going to face circumstances, whether it's your gifting or your calling, where if your identity isn't that, it can be in serious trouble when things don't go right. It must be in God, because he calls you by name. Not by ideology or religion or culture. Okay, so that's experience. So, next slide. So, just some comments. I explained calling, differentiating your purpose from calling, serving professions versus non-serving professions, and tent-making ministries. Have you heard of tent-making ministries? Where you where I might go as a doctor and I might go into Afghanistan to work in a hospital, but I'm also using it as a way to evangelize. You use your profession particularly to unreached places. Tent making ministry. Apostle Paul was a tent maker, and that's where the idea comes from. Okay, so that's experience. I'm not going to go too deep into experience because I actually don't know how much time I have to talk. You know? 45 minutes. Wow. Okay. I can, okay. Is everybody happy with experience? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's. Am I in the right place? Am I studying the right thing? That kind of thing. I promise you that even where I am right now, I still ask the same questions. The questions don't go away. Because it's not that you have maybe one calling. I think you have multiple callings. You might have a predominant thing that God wants you to do in your life, but you might find that you will move from there to there to there. And you might land up in medical education.